Hello, and welcome to Fathoming Water. I'm your host, Melissa Mosey. This week on Fathoming Water, we talk with CIP President Lisa Atkins and Arizona Department of Water Resources Director Tom Buschatsky. I got the chance to sit down with the both of them after the Sustainable Water for Southern Arizona, Current Conditions and Future Prospects Community Forum held on November 6, 2015. Lisa Atkins gave the opening comments, and Tom Buschatsky followed with the keynote address. Panelists included people from the environmental sector, the water service sector, the policy sector, and the agricultural industry. It was a vibrant conversation that included a question and answer session after the panel discussion with questions submitted by the crowd. My favorite question was asked by local Tucson artist Heather Gray. What keeps you up at night? There is much to keep people up at night when it comes to water, and everyone had something different to say, whether it be shortage on the Colorado River and meeting demand, to protecting environmentally crucial landscapes. The fact these panelists are kept up at night just shows how lucky Arizona is to have a truly amazing set of minds working on solutions to an over-allocated water system. In the following weeks, we will get to chat with many of these panelists, and I'm looking forward to sharing their voices and perspectives on Fathoming Water. As well, keep checking back, as we will be uploading their panel talks in the following days. I knew Arizona was ahead of the game going into this forum, but I was surprised to discover that we are moving more progressively than ever in the right direction. What I didn't know was that the Arizona Department of Water Resources has spent the past couple years developing Arizona's strategic vision for water supply sustainability, which involved over 20 meetings with stakeholders. Tom Buschatsky's keynote address discussed some of the details of the plan, including the creation of the Governor's Water Advisory Commission and the creation of 22 different planning areas not based on political or hydrologic boundaries, but on shared challenges and the possibility of shared solutions. In his talk, he illustrated how it is a very important move for Arizona, possibly as progressive as the 1980 Groundwater Management Act, and is sure to set Arizona on a stronger course for the future. For the first time, the state is looking at solutions for the entire state and not just the active management areas where most of the population is located, but not most of the agriculture. This gives the Arizona Department of Water Resources the ability to tackle agricultural, environmental, and economic issues region by region. Fathoming Water will continue to cover the strategic vision plan and watch how it develops, so keep checking back for more on this exciting new development as well. The audio of Tom's keynote address can be found at the Fathoming Water website at kxci.org. Information about the Arizona Strategic Vision for Water Supply Sustainability can be found online at azwater.gov. In this interview, Tom also goes further in describing the details of the plan. I was very grateful for the opportunity to interview both Lisa and Tom at the same time because they work so closely on water every day, as we will hear. We get the chance to understand how water responsibilities are divided in Arizona between the Department of Water Resources and the Central Arizona Project. Arizona is not in a crisis like California because our demand has not outpaced supply. But, as was brought up in the forum, Arizona is at a point of, quote, critical juncture. Arizona has been at the forefront of water reuse, smart farming, underground water storage, and groundwater management. But both make the point we still need to stay ahead of the game, especially with the threat of shortage on the Colorado River. It was nice to discover that Tom and Lisa hold communication and collaboration between them in the highest regard. This collaboration and openness to negotiation and conversation with stakeholders places Arizona water users in a strong position going forward. Lisa Atkins first joined the CIP board through appointment by Governor Jane D. Hull in January 2003. She was elected to a regular term in November 2006 and re-elected to the CIP Board of Directors for her second full term on November 6, 2012, to represent Maricopa County until December 31, 2018. She currently serves as the president of the board. Previously, she served as board secretary and chairman of the Central Arizona Groundwater Replenishment District and Underground Storage Committees. Just this last year, Lisa Atkins was appointed commissioner of the Arizona State Land Department in June 2015. She has served on the Commission on the Arizona Environment, the 2000 Governor's Water Management Commission, and the Arizona Water Bank Authority. She has also sat on many more commissions and boards not directly related to water, and to boot, was chief of staff for Congressman Bob Stump. Tom Buschotsky was appointed director of the Arizona Department of Water Resources in January 2015. Prior to this appointment, he served as the assistant director of the department's Water Planning Division, overseeing the Colorado River Management, Active Management Areas, Planning and Data Management, Assured and Adequate Water Supply and Recharge Permitting, and Statewide Planning Programs, and was the Tribal Liaison. He is responsible for multiple planning and policy, regulatory and permitting programs for the management of the state's water supplies. Tom serves as Arizona's principal negotiator on matters relating to the Colorado River, is the chairman of the Arizona Water Banking Authority, and co-chair of the Drought Interagency Coordinating Council. He also represents the state in Indian water right negotiations. Tom possesses over 30 years of experience in water management and has been a member of several statewide long-term water planning initiatives, including serving as co-chair of the Statewide Water Resources Development Commission, the governor's Blue Ribbon Panel on Water Sustainability, where he served as co-chair of the Regulatory and Permitting Group, and was an active participant in the Statewide Water Advisory Group and the governor's Drought Task Force. It was a great honor to sit down with two people with so much experience. And now, Lisa Atkins and Tom Buschotsky.
Well, thank you guys so much for taking the time after this busy day and your busy schedules to do this. I really appreciate this. So my first question is who you are and what role you play in Arizona Water. So we'll start with Lisa.
I'm Lisa Atkins. I'm a member of the Central Arizona Water Conservation District Board, which is a special taxing district that was formed specifically to be the manager and guide the repayment for the creation of the Central Arizona Project, including its daily maintenance and operation. There are 15 members of the board. We're all popularly elected here in Pima County. There are four members of the CAP board, Central Arizona Project Board, one from Pinal County, and 10 from Maricopa, and I'm one of the Maricopa County members.
Okay, and Tom.
So I am Tom Buschotsky. I am the director of the Arizona Department of Water Resources. Obviously, that's a state agency. Our mission is to manage the water resources of the state of Arizona for economic benefit, for quality of life, for the citizens of the state. My position is a cabinet-level position appointed by the governor, Governor Doug Ducey. I've been in that role since January of last year.
We just had a great forum today where we invited the general public. Why is it important for the general public to know more about where their water comes from and who manages it?
So I think water is basically a need for everyone, both for their personal daily lives, but more importantly, perhaps, water is embedded in just about everything that touches their lives, their food, their energy, their recreation. And so it's important for them to know that fact. It's important for them to know where their water comes from. It's important for them to understand the value of the benefit that water creates. And it's important for them to know that getting the benefits that derive from the use of water often attaches to the creation of infrastructure, treatment and delivery of water, and that there are costs attendant to all these things. And that if they want a secure water future and they want to reap the benefits of what water can provide, they need to be supportive as well of paying those costs moving out into the future.
And in addition, from the viewpoint of CAP, as I mentioned, we're a special taxing district. So that means that the taxpayers in Maricopa, Pinal, and Pima County actually are paying for the Central Arizona Project, and we believe that it's important for people to know what they're paying for. Not just that we deliver water, but where that water comes from, what it means in the overall mix, as far as their day-to-day lives, but also they are paying a tax to repay the project, to repay the federal government, because it's a federal reclamation project. And we believe it's important for them to be confident that their money's being managed properly, that they're getting the service that they're paying for.
Now, is Arizona unusual in having two major organizations managing water, or is it in most states just one Department of Water Resources? Is this an unusual setup?
So it is not an unusual situation that there might be at the state level a water management organization, but then further down there are individual water providers, folks who have water rights, folks who have contracts to water. And there needs to be interaction between those folks, and those folks need to work together to achieve their common goals. So probably in Arizona, we probably have fewer organizations like that than in some of our other brethren state like California. And I think that's one advantage we have in California. We have fewer organizations. It's easier for us just because of the numbers to work together and to continue down this path, as Lisa and I have termed it, Team Arizona, when it comes to water issues.
Well, that's fantastic that you're a team. And I would like to know how you guys work together. What are some of the specific activities that you partake in?
Well, we actually have a unique relationship between Central Arizona Project and the Department of Water Resources on behalf of the state of Arizona, in that we basically are the M&O operation. We're charged with maintaining and operating the canal and delivering that product to our customers, which is very small. We don't deliver to your house, for instance. We don't deliver to an individual. Our customers are folks who have an allocation of water off the Colorado River that is in writing. Really, the spokesperson for our relationship with the federal government is the Department of Water Resources. So if we're not in constant contact, if we're not in alignment, if there's not a good open dialogue, communication, it's our responsibility to maintain and operate that canal and have those relationships. But if we don't have a relationship with DWR, they're operating on behalf of the state without talking to the folks who actually take that water and deliver it to the people who are entitled to an allocation off the Colorado River. So we're tied at the hip with the federal government because the Central Arizona Project is a federal reclamation project. The federal government came in and did what was necessary because of a legal and a congressional act. They actually built the Central Arizona Project. We have a responsibility to repay that. But if we don't have a relationship with the state of Arizona, the Secretary of Interior recognizes the Department of Water Resources and the governor as the spokesman for water. That's where their relationship is. If Tom and I don't have a relationship, there's a breakdown in communication. He can't do his job on behalf of the citizens of Arizona, and we can't do ours on behalf of those folks who have an allocation and we have to deliver water to.
And you negotiate with the other states as well.
Right, so as Lisa mentioned, I have that role, and it's actually statutorily appointed in state law that I'm the representative of the state on Colorado River issues and issues with the federal government. There are many different processes that are ongoing for the management on the river, all the way from operation and management of Glen Canyon Dam, the management and operation of Hoover Dam, discussions about drought contingency and sustainability planning, salinity control, managing the water quality of the Colorado River. All of these areas are ongoing, and I'm kind of the primary representative, but CAP, the interim general manager, Ted Cook, and I are directly involved in a lot of those discussions, or other staff from the Central Arizona Project, other staff from my department. I think that we talk on a daily basis, and if you added up the man hours of staff to staff, it's probably exceeds one day per week, or 8 hours per day if you start adding up all the time we spend together. The other thing we work on really closely is the messaging.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we talked in the forum we just left about the importance of there being a consistent message coming from all of Arizona, and DWR and CAP work really hard on crafting that message and making sure that the common message and a consistent message goes out to the public so that they can feel confident they're hearing the same message. They're not raising issues in their own mind if they hear one entity say one thing and another entity say something a little differently or something different in substance. So that's a really important part of our relationship as well.
And I want to go back to one other thing as far as the relationship between CAP and DWR. It doesn't fully explain the users on the Colorado River. Central Arizona Project has an entitlement on behalf of the residents of Maricopa, Pinal, and Pima County. That's a negotiation and a congressional act. But there are also people in Yuma, farmers in Yuma, Indian tribe. There are lots of people that have an allocation on the Colorado River. So our relationship is just with the allocation that Arizona has for Colorado River water for Central Arizona, not to exclude Tom's relationship with the other folks on the river who have an allocation, which actually have a higher priority. They have a senior right to CAP.
So you're working with many more people.
Yeah, we're right. we're just one of them.
And how large is your organization?
I have about 110 full-time employees in my organization. But I do want to add to what Lisa said, though, in that the working relationship is really important between CAP and DWR for the people who are not part of CAP. They look to DWR to have that positive relationship with CAP. They look to DWR to, again, make sure that their issues are fairly represented and that, again, some equity is created for the entire Colorado River entitlement for the state of Arizona, which is my responsibility. So by having a positive relationship with CAP, we exude confidence in those folks that they're being protected, that if they do have differences of opinion between CAP and their issues, we can help broker solutions between CAP and the folks that take water directly out of the river, most of the senior priority users for Colorado River water in Arizona.
So now for our listeners, just to understand a little bit more about the nitty-gritty day-to-day work that happens with each of your organizations, because I think a lot of people are just the mystery of the governmental organizations. What exactly is the CAP? How large is your organization?
More than 400 employees.
Oh, wow.
We have technical staff. We have staff that's on the ground. We have a canal that's more than 330 miles long. We are the largest power consumer in the state of Arizona. It takes a lot of energy to be able to move water off the Colorado River and in some cases uphill to deliver from where it's taken off the river all the way to Tucson. So it's a complex reclamation project that takes water from point A and delivers it to point B. And it's labor intensive. Our system is more than 30 years old. So it also takes a lot of maintenance. But keeping that water moving, so we have technical people, we have law enforcement folks, we have whatever you can imagine, for instance, like your city water department. It takes a lot of people to keep the policies moving forward, to be cognizant of the orders, get the deliveries made, and keep that canal in working condition so that we can take water off the river and deliver it to the end user.
Okay, and what about you, Tom?
So first and foremost, one of our major responsibilities is to protect the water supplies of the state. Not only our Colorado River water, but our groundwater, our in-state river supplies. And so we take actions to do that, whether that's negotiating with the federal government and our basin state partners, whether that's having internal discussions and negotiations among our water users, or whether that is a regulatory function of managing groundwater, making sure conservation requirements are met, making sure people don't use more than they are legally allotted, things like that on a daily basis. We also provide a portal for people to gather water use information. We have information about groundwater levels around the state, what wells are out there, information that people are interested in using either for their own planning purposes or to get some sense of what's going on in their area of the state or what's going on in the state as a whole. So that customer service element for us is a huge part of our job on a daily basis and probably what most of our people really do. Again, Lisa mentioned the policy aspects that folks have to address, and clearly that's a large part of our function is to make sure that the policies fit together with the planning, again, to make sure that out into the future, and the simplest way to say that is we do not ever want to reach a point in time when our demand exceeds our supply. That's what happened in California. That's why they had to go to mandatory curtailments. And our number one job is to make sure that through time that does not happen.
And I think the fact that Arizona had to fight so hard for its allocation off the Colorado River and fight hard in Congress to get the project approved and fight every year for the appropriation has led to some unique opportunities or meeting some unique challenges. So the Groundwater Management Act we have in Arizona that we've had since 1980, California is just now starting to look down that path. The fact that we have such a dispersed agricultural community and water was a concern because, quite honestly, CAP was originally devised not to grow the economy necessarily in Maricopa, Pinal, and Pima County, but was another source of water for agriculture, which at that time in the state's history was important. It was the foundation of the state's economy. But to be able to have that interaction with others in the state, to have a balanced portfolio, groundwater management, drip irrigation started in this state. When you look at who else uses it, Tom was right when he said earlier today that our agriculture is a huge economic driver in the state of Arizona, and they are fabulous at the amount of money that they've invested on their own to conserve water. Conservation is part of our lifestyle in the desert, and no one source of water is going to be the answer. It really goes back to what I said in the group. We have to be able to leverage each other's assets, know what we need, and not miss opportunities to do things in a different way just to be able to get from day one to day two. But more importantly, as Kip said, we need to give people outside the state of Arizona the confidence that we have the water to be able to grow. The chart that Tom showed that our water use today with a population that has grown so dramatically is the same as it was decades ago speaks volumes about the fact that we know that we're living in a desert and we have a finite resource and we use it to the best we can.
Arizona is quite progressive on water and has been through the years. Are these types of forums where they're open to the public and involving the public in the conversation a part of that moving forward?
Clearly they are. We need to take every opportunity we have to get the message out, to get the message out that we've done a great job, we continue to do that great job, but despite that, we recognize the challenges that are out there.
Right.
And we are addressing them head on. We're not pushing them to the side, we're not waiting for the next generation to come along and solve them. We're working on that now through some pretty important actions that we're taking. I also wanted to add one additional thing, which may not be evident to some of your listeners, and that is in Arizona, we have 22 federally recognized Indian tribes, which presents a unique challenge in the state of Arizona. They have water rights and water rights claims, obviously, to large amounts of water in our state, and that's another big challenge for us to deal with. My department has a tribal liaison function officially as part of our duties and works closely with the governor's office in their relationships with all the tribes in the state. So,
and quite honestly, 48% of the allocation that Arizona has off the Colorado River has been used as part of the settlement for the Indian water rights.
Yes. That's 48% of CAP.
Just of CAP. Just of CAP.
Other additional water on the river that belongs to the tribes on the
Salt River or the Little Colorado River.
That doesn't count mainstem Colorado River for several tribes.
For instance, Colorado River Indian Tribe has a large allocation. Right.
And others, so yeah.
And this all resulted from the 1910 decision.
The Winner's Doctrine.
Yes, the Winner's Doctrine.
I think it's 1908.
So, yeah, a long history there, a long legal history that had to be resolved and was only really started to be resolved in the early 2000s.
And so we have 13 tribes whose water rights have either been settled or adjudicated. We still have 9 to go.
Okay. Yes, that is something that I hope to have another podcast about, another discussion about.
Good idea. That's a very good idea.
It's a big concept. Let's talk about what you guys each took away from the forum and what sort of some of the questions that were asked, some of the concerns that people brought up, or just the bringing together of farmers with environmental people, with water providers, how you ended up, what you took away from that.
I think the biggest thing that I took away from the forum today was the desire for more participation, more meaningful participation by various public interest groups. I think maybe there's a different view on that in different parts of the state. I think this area, the Tucson area, is probably the most proactive in that regard, but we see this in other parts of the state as well. And so we do need to find a way to incorporate those people's viewpoints into our processes, and that always becomes a challenge, finding the right time and way to do that, and not have it end up being, and I like to use this example, when people comment on environmental impact statements and the federal government says your comment is noted, which means thank you, go away. So that's a challenge, how to really allow these people to participate in a meaningful way, and we will take their comments to heart and try to make improvements in that process as we move forward in our planning processes in our department.
I loved the city of Tucson when they talked about using their own employees as the communicators for water, and I think we all have a tendency to focus in on what we need to get done and the challenges that are facing us today and tomorrow and the timelines that go with those and the priorities that shift on a regular basis, that we forget that there are ways to leverage what we're doing with what other people are doing. I found it absolutely refreshing to listen to people talk about restoring different parts of the Tucson area as far as the environment is concerned. That then begins a whole other conversation and engaging a group of people who then will learn how all of these water sources are tied together, which gives us an opportunity at CAP to talk about a renewable resource and how we fit into that water portfolio. And everybody's going to hear something a little bit different, but everybody's going to understand that there are a great number of folks out there that are working on a daily basis together, leveraging those assets to deliver a product and have a product available so that we can continue the lifestyle that we enjoy in Arizona.
I was delighted by the amount of people that came.
Yeah, it was
and
wonderful.
I really get, people get excited to talk about water, even if they're just a regular layperson that has no connection to the water world. They want to talk about water. They're eager to talk about water, so that's very nice to see. Now, the last point I want to touch on before I let you guys go on to your busy days, the new plan coming up. You briefly mentioned that there's this new initiative, that it's going to be as important as the 1980 Groundwater Management Act, and I'd love for you to explain what is going on.
So again, in January of 2014, my department published a report looking forward at our water supply and demand imbalances that would be created by new economic growth, new population growth, et cetera. So kind of our due diligence for statewide planning. It identified anywhere between 900,000 acre feet in the next 25 years to 3.2 million acre feet over 100 years. In context, today we're using 7 million acre feet of water. So the challenge is, how are we going to get there, how are we going to make sure that that supply and demand imbalance is not an issue and that we can meet all those demands? The report identified some strategies. It identified some opportunities from the supply side, some strategies and key, like, policy issues that need to be resolved. And so Governor Ducey, just a couple of weeks ago, announced that he was going to use that plan as the basis of his water initiative moving forward. And we set up a process for my department to basically address the issues in that plan through a two-track process. The first track will be to reach out to 22 planning areas that were created in the plan. Those are geographic areas that were created because they have common challenges, but also the potential for common solutions. We will reach out to those folks. We will engage as many stakeholders who are willing to engage and try to work through what their challenges are, work through what their potential solutions are, and try to come up with consensus items that can actually be enacted. At the same time that's going on, a larger commission is going to be created that is going to look at overarching issues that have maybe broader state importance, again, with the goal of reducing the supply and demand imbalance, doing away with it. Some of the things we'll be looking at are additional water conservation. Even though we've been doing it for almost 30 years, we still have some opportunities to do more. There'll be some, all of these things that we're going to discuss will be hard choices, as was the groundwater code. We'll be looking at how to foster additional reclaimed water reuse. Again, we are estimating maybe half of that imbalance can be met just by going all the way in our reuse from kind of the way we use it now, more landscaping, et cetera, power generation and things like that, to indirect potable reuse, which is putting in the ground and taking out, and as far potentially as direct potable reuse, which is basically treating it and putting it directly into your potable water system. We'll be also, though, looking at things like augmentation, the desalination of brackish groundwater deposits, poor quality groundwater that exists inside our state, and potentially desalination of ocean water, either in partnership with California or Mexico, again, as new water supplies that can augment our existing supplies, and opportunities to look at getting that in different parts of the state. As we go through the track one planning area process, it's possible that prescriptions in those areas might have a broader statewide application. If that occurs, we will be bringing those forward to the commission for their consideration and potentially building up the support for those if they take legislative action, or the support through the governor's office if there are policy decisions that can effectuate those outcomes. So it's an aggressive plan. It's a multi-year plan. We probably are looking at getting through 3 planning areas a year, and our commission probably, I think we set it up to last for at least five or six years. It might become more of a permanent thing over time, but we'll have to wait and see how that plays out. But the other thing that's important is we're not going to wait until the commission works through all the issues. We're going to kind of go in one issue at a time and try to get enough success on each one of those issues to get something in action, and not wait 5 years before we have a final report. And basically, you've lost, as somebody said earlier in the forum, you've lost opportunities because you've waited past the time at which those opportunities can get you the benefit that you want to achieve.
And how will CAP be involved in this?
CAP has a great track record of collaboration with DWR, and we have experience, for instance, multi-species conservation program on the Colorado River. So we will be of whatever assistance Tom and the governor can identify for us. Tom briefed our board yesterday on the plan. It was a very engaging conversation of almost an hour. We clearly will be available to be of any assistance and think that we have some experience that might be helpful. So we await the director's next step.
And I can't presume to say who will get appointed by the governor to commission, but an entity that delivers over half of our Colorado River entitlement probably is a pretty important entity to be part of the commission.
We will play whatever role that we're asked to play, and we'll appreciate the opportunity to do so.
Well, thank you so much for both sitting down with me. Is there anything else you guys wanted to add?
Melissa, this is fabulous. Thank you for your interest in getting Tom and I together to talk to your listeners, and thank the folks who took time out of their morning, spent their entire morning with us. These conversations are valuable.
And I agree, and we really appreciate when the media and others seek out the facts from the folks who are responsible for the actual management of the water, like DWR and CAP. And not all media outlets always write stories based on sound research, so we definitely appreciate when that occurs and your efforts to make that happen for your listeners.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
Thanks,
I'm
Melissa.
Happy to do so.
Thank you.
Thank you so much to Lisa Atkins and Tom Buschatsky. It is fascinating to learn how our governmental bodies manage water and share responsibilities. More information about Lisa and Tom and Arizona Water can be found at cap-az.com and azwater.gov, respectively. Keep checking back to Fathoming Water for audio of the Sustainable Water for Southern Arizona, Current Conditions and Future Prospects Community Forum, and for interviews with the panelists. Next episode, we will be talking with Diana Liverman, co-director of the University of Arizona Institute of the Environment. The Institute promotes interdisciplinary research, teaching, and outreach on the environment at the University of Arizona. Her disciplinary home is the School of Geography and Development, which is where I first was acquainted with her. She teaches a graduate seminar and a core course for the Environmental Studies Bachelor's. She has maintained an affiliation with Oxford University, where she is a visiting professor of environmental policy and development in the School of Geography and Environment. Her career has focused on the human dimensions of global environmental change, and her main research interests include climate impacts, vulnerability and adaption, and climate policy and mitigation, especially in the developing world. She also works on the political economy and political ecology of environmental management in the Americas. We will discuss what political ecology means, how vulnerability to water shortages is not shared equally, and how climate change will impact all the discussions about water in the future. I look forward to sharing that interview with you, and I thank you for listening to Fathoming Water. Thanks to all the organizers and participants of the Sustainable Water for Southern Arizona, Current Conditions and Future Prospects Community Forum. Thanks to Chris Levesque for our theme music, A Walk in the Wasteland. Questions and comments can be submitted to melissa@kxci.org. I'm your host, Melissa Mosey, and thank you.